traditions and sunnats never change. If we don't adapt ourselves to those principles, at the end of the day, we will fail and Allah's principles will not change. Because Quran has already announced, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will never find a change in the sunnah of Allah. And one of those sunnahs is that he tests. He never leaves his servant without imtihan and test. The higher you get in your iman and cleanliness of the soul, taharatul qalb, the more you deserve to be tested. The less you have the level of iman and taharat and cleanliness of the soul, the less you deserve to be tested. And if a person is void of taharat of the qalb, then this kind of person will be tested, you know, his iman, about the things related to his imans and values. Because, like I said, that musibat and test is a constant sunnah of Allah where no one is exempt. The only thing we should do towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to seek in our du'as that don't bring the musibat and test about my iman and faith and my values. That means you should redirect the musibat which is bound to arrive towards my dunya and things related to the life of dunya. This is what a woman is supposed to say and do towards Allah. And after the musibat arrives, it's our job to have shukr and sabr.
Subhanallah.
And not just the regular sabr, but what the Prophet has said in this hadith, sabrun jameel. The appreciated way of being patient. The appreciated way of being patient is described in the tafsir by our scholars is that not only you have no complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his decisions towards you, his destiny towards you that he has destined, but also you have no complaint in your heart. Not only orally you're not saying anything against Allah and his decisions. Why is this happening to me? Is it right? Yeah, some people who end up saying, I give so many charities, I always attend the namaz al jamaat and so on and so forth. Why is that happening to me? Sentences of complaint. Not only we don't utter sentences of complaints orally, but in our qalb, in our heart, we don't feel any complaint towards Allah. If somebody has this kind of sabr and patience, that's where we call it sabrun jameel, the appreciated sabr. Now let's go and have a look towards the hadith of the Prophet from Jami'ul Akhbar, which I recited, where Prophet says, Jibreel informed me on behalf of Allah, إِذَا وُجِّهَتْ إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ مِّنْ عَبِيدٍ مُصِيبَةٌ. When a musibat, a test, is directed towards one of my servants, فِي بَدَنِهِ أَوْ مَالِهِ أَوْ وُلْدِهِ, regarding his body, or his wealth, or his children, ثُمَّ إِسْتَقْبَلَ ذَلِكَ بِصَبْرٍ جَمِيلٍ. And after that, he welcomed that. That means he welcomed that musibat and test and bala with sabrin jameel, a patience which is appreciated, which is beautiful, beautiful way of being patient. Then Allah says, istahyaytu minhu yawm al-qiyamah. I've been hesitant from him on the day of judgment, and ansiba lahu mizan, and that I installed mizan for him. Aw anshura lahu diwanan, or I distribute the diwan for him. So, mizan is the yardstick and the scale which every single person from the awwaleen and akhireen, the earlier and the later generations, have to go through this mawqif of qiyamah, this station of qiyamah, which is called mizan, where all of our deeds are scaled and measured. And obviously, this is one of those hardest times, because when a person's good deeds are measured, and on the other hand, there is no physical scale available which will be placed on the Day of Judgment. The mizan of the Day of Judgment is precisely what the Prophet has said in his hadith to Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, anta mizan al-a'mal. You are the mizan of the actions. So every action of every human will be tested through this scale. What resemblance do our amal have? No one can be like the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. We all know it. But there has to be resemblance, shabahat. There has to be some kind of likeness, some kind of similarity between our actions and their deeds. And this is going to determine the highness of our actions. So, our scholars say, if you have musibat arriving in your way, you should be thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be patient, sabr, doing the sabr and jameel, because now you are on the path of anbiya and awliya. And if you find that there is no musibat coming in your way, you should be anxious and worried. What has gone wrong with me? Is there something wrong in my iman? Did I do something haram? Some harams after harams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stopped sending bala about the umur and affairs of the life of dunya. My health, my money, my well-being in this world is not affected. What's gone wrong? We need to be anxious about our behavior. Am I falling in the category of mustadrajin? Is it right? We have a category called mustadrajin in Ilmul Akhlaq. There are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more of the worldly material blessings one after the other, because this is punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. So they get more and more into this world, forgetting Allah, getting engaged in the material things more and more, because they ask for it, they deserve it. They never heed to the previous warnings of Allah. So there a time arrives that Allah starts giving more of the material blessings. For some people in this world who have more of the material blessings, some of those people are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a la'nat of Allah on them, that they have more of the material blessings. So they become more ghafil, because they themselves did not heed to the previous warnings of Allah. So we find this person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, that I asked Allah to give me money, and He gave me. And he said, Allah yarzuqani maalan farazuqani. فَسَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي دَارًا. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a house. So Allah gave me a house for رَزَقَنِي. وَسَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي وَلَدًا فَرَزَقَنِي. I asked Allah to give me a son, and He gave me. فَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ إِسْتِدْرَاجًا. I'm afraid that every dua that I'm seeking from Allah, He's accepting, He's giving it one after the other. So I'm now scared that I may be falling in the category of mustadrajin. Why am I given all these blessings one after the other? And Imam Salih alayhi salam replied, Amma ma'al hamd fala.
Subhanallah.
That means, as long as a person is doing the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're not going to fall in the category of mustadrajin. So we are supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time and be thankful and grateful towards Him for all the blessings. If the blessings stop arriving, if the blessings of dunya stop arriving, this is a good sign.
So we find that al-bala'u, the hadith says al-bala'u mu'akkarun bil-anbiya. Bala is assigned towards the prophets. ثُمَّ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, then the beloved servants of Allah. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ, then those who are more resembling, and after that, those who are lesser resembling. So the more you resemble the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, the higher your tests are supposed to be. And the bigger enemies of Allah will be opposing you in this world. And the lesser is your iman and cleanliness of the soul, the lesser will be your tests, and the lesser opponents of Allah will be opposing you. And if you find that nobody is opposing you at all, then we must discover that this is a sign of a munafiq. It's a sign of a munafiq that he has no enemy. Nobody is opposing him. Nobody bothers to oppose him because he's a munafiq. He can get along with everyone together. Even Imam Ali did not get along with everyone, isn't it right? He get along with some and didn't want to get along with some other, and he was proud not to get along with those some.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Isn't it right? So we have the whole phenomena of hub and bughd fillah. Al-hubbu fillah, loving someone whomsoever you love for the sake of Allah. Well, bughdu fillah, that means hating and distancing ourselves from the evil and the enemies of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how a mu'min is supposed to be. So there has to be enemies for you if you are a mu'min. The higher your level of iman, the bigger would be the enemies in their animosity, and the bigger enemies would be opposing you. So we find it makes perfect sense that when the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt belong to the highest level in paradise, their enemies deserve to be at the rock bottom of the hell. It makes perfect sense. Even the darajat and levels of paradise are in sync with the darakat, you know, inversely in sync with the darakat and stages of the hell. So just like the lower level of paradise belongs to those who used to support Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam with their heart only. Isn't it right? And the middle level of paradise belongs to those who support Amir al-Mu'mineen with their heart plus their tongue. And the highest level of paradise belongs to those who support Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in his walayat with their heart and tongue and their hand. That means practically doing things for the sake of the walayat. Similarly, the darakat and stages of the hell are also the higher level of hell belongs to those who opposed Imam Ali alayhi salam's walayat with their heart only. And the middle level belongs to those who oppose the concept of walayat and its implications in our everyday life with their heart and their tongue. That means they said things as well. And the lowest level belongs to those who oppose the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam with their heart and tongue and their hand. That means their actions. So that's the way it goes. The Prophet has already said that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the mizan, isn't it right? He's the mizan of all the actions. So Hazrat Zakariya, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa sallam, when he was chased by a bunch of kuffar, and on his way he encountered a tree, and he indicated towards the tree, and the tree opened up on the ishara and indication of the Prophet. The trees are part of Alam al-Takween. Is it right? And everything of Alam al-Takween is already obedient to the Prophets and the Imams. So there is no disobedience in Alam al-Takween. All the disobediences you find in Alam al-Tashri'. We, the humans and jinns who belong to the world of legislature, the world of the Sharia, the world of do's and do-nots. That's where you find the odd existences. Some humans and jinns are the odd existences. Everything else of the universe falls in the category of Alamut Takween, where there's zero disobedience towards Allah and His representatives. So Zakariya indicated toward the tree opened up, obeying the command of the Prophet. Obviously, it was a Tarkul Awla from Hazrat Zakariya, something that he should better avoid, you know, but he did not. So our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the greatest, because they never ever performed any Tarkul Awla in their life. Something that was better to be avoided. Obviously the Prophets never do harams,
It's just something which is better to be avoided. He should better
seek help from Allah directly instead of seeking help from the tree. Mm-hmm. Isn't it right? But he did not. So we find the tree opened up and he went inside the trunk of the tree. The tree closed shut. But Shaitan, Iblis, who was trailing behind Prophet Zakaria, guiding the kuffar towards where he is hiding, what he did, what Iblis did, he grabbed a piece of the haba, rida of Zakaria, outside. So that piece of the cloth was sticking outside because Iblis got hold of it. So that's how he was leading the kuffar that here is where Zakaria is hiding. Now, these kuffar are trying to kill Hazrat Zakaria by slicing him into two pieces. And that's where the nida and the voice came from the ghaib. We don't have any jaza, nala, ah. You know, showing our disturbance, that we are disturbed over this bala. Otherwise, we are going to erase your name from the Sabireen. So if the great personalities start expressing their disturbance, that, you know, over the bala when it arrives on them, they will not fall in the category of Sabireen. Sabireen is a very, very, very high category in Islam. Not everybody can fall in the category of Sabireen. Our scholars, when they compare, our Mufassireen, when they compare the sabr with the shukr, there is no comparison whatsoever. There is no comparison between a shakir and a sabir. Sabir is way higher than a shakir person. So, when it comes to the shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Holy Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you do shukr, we will certainly... Allah has promised to provide the ni'mat of dunya to the shakir person, and He is certainly, certainly going to increase the ni'mat of dunya if you guys do the shukr, if you're grateful. Whereas when it comes to the sabr, Allah says about sabireen, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
SubhanAllah.
That means the sabir people will be given their reward without hisab and accountability. Can you imagine? There is no accountability for their reward. So sabireen are going to enter paradise without any hisab and accountability. Shakir person will never deserve to receive this kind of treatment. So we find when the body of Hazrat Zakaria was cut into two, got into pieces, every piece of his body, every juz of his body was speaking that I wish. When he was asked, how do you feel? He said, I wish that this process was restarted again, over and over again. That means the same process of cutting his body into two should have been done again and again. When you see the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged for the sabireen, that's how the sabireen would speak. So we find the ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing His policy about testing. Certainly, we are certainly going to test وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that he is doing the tafsir. Before I come to that tafsir, we have hadith that says when we learn in the line of the hadith, when Allah kills the son of someone, the child of somebody, so Allah asked the angels, when you take away the fruit of his life, what did he say? And the angels, if they reply back to Allah, that he did shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that construct a house for him in the paradise and name that house to be Baitul Hamd, the house of the praise. And give Basharat to, basically Basharat and glad tidings are given to those people and ask them to say Kalimatul Istirja. Kalimatul Istirja means Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Ask them to say this. Hadith says, you know, that anyone who says the kalimatul istirja, man istirja inda al-musibat, when the musibat arrives, a person says the kalimatul istirja, is inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Unfortunately, we find in our society, there are some people, when they say inna lillah, they are saying it about the dead person, intending that dead person. But this kalima is not about the dead person only, is it right? It's kalima belongs to everyone, all of us. Inna, we all belong to Allah. And towards him are we returning back. It's not just him returning back to Allah and not him belonging to Allah alone. We all belong to him. We need to prepare for our return towards Allah as well. It's not just for him. So don't intend the dead person only. Intend your own self. Inna lillah. Certainly we belong to Allah. But towards him are we returning back. In our subcontinent culture, you find it's considered to be bad to talk about your own death. Isn't that right? If you talk about your own death, there are people who stop you. Whereas in the teachings of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, it is mustahab. Zikrul maut is mustahab in the Shariat of Imam Sari alayhi salam. Yeah, we need to talk about every now and then, talk about death. That's how they used to do. So we find the hadith says, whoever reads the kalimatul istirja when the musibat arrives, whoever says inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, jabarallahu musibatahu. Imam Salih alayhi salam says, Allah compensates for his musibat. Wa ahsana uqbahu. Allah makes his uqba, that means his final abode, good. And wa ja'ala lahu khalafan salihan yarbahu. Allah provides, khalaf means your children, with whom you would be pleased. So Imam alayhi salam says that the ayat of Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ, this ayat of Holy Quran belongs to Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And what is intended from the khawf, testing through the khawf and scare, is the harb and qital. How Amir al-Mu'mineen Islam was tested by Allah during the battles. Isn't that? That was a great test. When Amr ibn Abdul-Wud, la'anatullah alayh, comes and crosses the Khandaq in the battle of the trench, battle of Ahzab, how we call it, how Quran calls it, where all those tribes gathered together to crush the Prophet in Islam, you know, and just kill the Islam from its roots. So nothing of Ruma Islam could have survived if Imam Ali alayhi salam was not there. And all those people who later on claimed to be supporters of Islam, all those who had the greed of dunya, were sitting there. And the narration says, كَأَنَّ عَلَىٰ رُؤُسِهِمُ الطَّيْرِ, as if there were birds sitting on their heads. No one is ready to respond to the call of the Prophet to take care of that person. And Imam Ali al-Islam is the one who responded. And that's where we find, that the Prophet says his historic statement that baraz al-Iman kulluhu ila shirki kulleh. That means the entire Iman is going to face the entire shirk. This is the survival of the religion which is at stake. The very Iman would have been gone and erased from the world on that day, if had it not been for Imam Ali alayhi salam to take on Amr ibn Abdul-Wud. And we find that on that occasion, when Imam Ali alayhi salam, he spat on the face of Imam Ali, and he abused him with the abuse of his mother. Everybody feels bad. Imam Ali alayhi salam also felt bad. It's a sign of a moment to feel bad, isn't it right? مَنْ لَمْ يُبَالِ مَا قَالْ وَلَا مَا قِيلَ لَهُ فَهُوَ شِرْكُ شَيْطَانٍ. The hadith says someone who doesn't care what he says and what is said to him is a Shaitan is partner in him. So in his mutfa, Shaitan has been a partner. That's why he doesn't care about what he says and what is said to him. So we are not statues, we are humans. Right? And if Shaitan is not a partner in our nutfa, we will care about what we say and what is said to us. So everybody who is waladul halal will care about what is said to him and what he says. But Imam Ali was also very upset. But in Islam, the sign of a mu'min is that we never do anything wrong based on our ghadab. We never do anything wrong based on our anger. That's the sign of a mu'min. We never say or do anything wrong when we are angry. We have to control ourselves in that time. So, लोग कहते हैं नहीं वाला ना मैं तो अपनी ज़ोज़ा से नाराज था गुस्से में आके मैंने ये कह दिया मतलब गुस्से में तो गाली दी जाती है और क्या खुशी में किसी को देखा कि खुशी में गाली दे रहा हूँ अपनी ज़ोज़ा को कभी किसी को देखा कि खुशी बहुत ज़्यादा खुश हो उसे गालियाँ देने शुरू कर दी The entire test in Islam is when you are angry, isn't it right? That's where the test is. Our scholars of akhlaq say that all the sins that a human commits is because of two major reasons, ghadab and shahwat. The anger problem and the desires. That's where it leads us towards all the sins. That's where the test is, how we control ourselves. So look at the azamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He walks away from Amr ibn Abd al-Wud, and then he returns back and he kills him. And when somebody asks Imam Ali alayhi salam, why didn't he kill Amr ibn Abd al-Wud in the first time? He says that he didn't want his personal desire to be satisfied. He may want to maintain his ikhlas towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as Ali Amos, ikhlas-e amal. If you want to learn the ikhlas and sincerity, you have to learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, he didn't want to kill that person in order to satisfy his personal ego and personal desire. In other words. Which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, all these narrations. So we find that, and in addition to that, the qital of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, so these are lessons that we talk about, Khaybar and Khandaq and Hunayn and Badr, these are all ibrat and lessons for us to apply on our everyday lives. Isn't it right? When Imam Ali alayhi salam did like this and this and this against the marhab, the racist person of that time, what are we supposed to do towards the Zionists of our time? Isn't it right? But this lesson is missing. In lots of majalis you find the applied science is missing. That's what I constantly say in my speeches. One of the great services of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh is that he taught us the applied science. We have been learning about the stories of the heroic battles of Amir Mumin Islam in the theoretical sense without applying it on our everyday life. What am I, Imam Ali was successful, he's successful. What am I supposed to do? Is there anything I learned from his behavior? That is missing. There's no applied science mentioned in most of the speeches. So we find that Amir Mumin alayhi salam, his battles, he was not focused on money and maal ghanimat and the war booty. So we find he did not take away, he was not focused on that. He was not focused on cutting the body of his opponents. That was a tradition of Jahiliyyat. We call it Muslah Tamseel. You know what? In the old days of Jahiliyyat, what they used to do, you know, after killing your opponent, they could used to cut the nose and the ears and the lips. That's to show your animosity. And the Holy Prophet has said in his hadith that Iyakum wal Muslah walau bil kalb al aqur. That means keep away from doing this Muslah. The Musla, although towards a dog. I mean, we don't even do this behavior towards a dog. Now, these are our values. Imam Ali Islam didn't do that towards Amr ibn Abd al-Wud. And when his sister came at the janaza of her brother, she said in Arabic, Lawkana qatilahu ghayra qatilihi. If the killer of my brother was someone other than his killer, I would have been crying over him throughout my life. But now that she finds that none of her jewelry, none of the things that he was wearing were taken away, by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And none of the parts of his body were cut away by Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at the focus of the intention of Imam Ali alayhi salam was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas towards Allah. Doing nothing for the sake of your personal satisfying your own ego. So she says that I'm not going to cry over my brother. Even this share itself from the enemy, that means the sister of Amr ibn Abdul, is a fazilat of Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam itself. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And Imam alayhi salam, Imam Salih alayhi salam says, Jew in the ayat, wa naqsa min al-amwali wal anfusi wa thamarat. وَلَنَبْدَوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Certainly, we are certainly going to test you with something of fear and hunger. So, hunger, Imam Al-Sadiq says, belongs to, the fastings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Imam Ali was fasting almost throughout the year. And his iftar was job, barley. Barley was such a simple, cheap thing that even the donkeys and the animals consume it. Isn't it right? The cheapest possible food available. Then he say, "Awa abitu mibtalan, aqna'u min nafsi bi an yuqala amir al-mu'mineen." Shall I suffice for myself that now people are, in other words, now people are calling me amir al-mu'mineen, وَلَا أُشَارِكُهُمْ فِي مَكَارِهِ الدَّهْرِ, and I don't participate in the hardships of the time with them. وَلَعَلَّ أَوَا أَبِيطُ مِبْطَانًا, shall I sleep with my stomach full? وَلَعَلَّ بِالْحِجَازِ أَوِ الْيَمَامَةِ, and there may be in Hijaz and Yamama somebody who never remembers when did he ate full.
That means there are people so hungry lying somewhere in those corners of the Islamic world, and I fill up my stomach. So never once in the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen it happened that he slept with his stomach full. Never even once he ate full in his life. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is how you become the Amir of all the believers.
And he used to seal the packet of his food,
you know, his dry bread.
The same Imam Ali al-Salam who was attacking the enemies of Islam to defend Islam in all those wars with the power of his hand, the same Imam Ali al-Salam was unable to break the dry bread with his own hands. So he has to break the bread with his knee.
Can you imagine how dry the bread was?
This shows the taqwa of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
And he used to seal the back of his bread
so that one of his children do not add some water or some, you know,
salan in that
to make the bread softer for him to eat.
And when somebody said to Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen that
your food is so dry and so simple, how come you have so much power and strength?
Imam Ali alayhi salam replied that إِنَّ الشَّجَرَةَ الْبَرِّيَّةَ
أَصْلَبُ عُودًا.
SubhanAllah.
That means the tree that belongs to the desert is harder in its wood.
Those are the trees which are in the desert,
their wood is even harder,
in other words. So basically he has said, حَسْبِي مِنَ التَّعَامِ مَا يُقِيمُ ظَهْرِي. That much food is enough for me, which makes my back straightened. وَلَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّي. It does not stop me from the ibadat of my Lord. That much food is enough for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. That doesn't stop him from the ibadat. Some people eat so much that now they don't have the hal.
They don't have the spiritual condition to even do the ibadat. Or some people even tend to sleep. Isn't it right? They've eaten so much that now they want to sleep.
So, Imam alayhi salam, this Jew belongs to the fastings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And wa naqsa min al-amwal, Imam Salih alayhi salam says that decrease in the money, this relates to the sadaqah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam is the one who gave sadaqah in the morning time and in the night time,
and sirran wa alaniyatan, openly and hiddenly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verse that الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. Say salawat.
Muhammad, Muhammad.
This is the behavior of Allah alayhi salam. And we find that the ayat when it says وَنَقْسَ مِنَ الْأَنْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ decrease in the lives. This is about the fact that the Prophet has, Imam Sadiq al-Islam is informing us about the fact that Prophet has informed him that he will be killed and his beard will become red with the blood of his head. Imam Ali al-Islam himself said, مَا يَمْنَعُ أَشْقَاهَا أَنْ يَخْضِبَهَا مِنْ فَوْقِهَا بِدَمْ. So, and that's the same that happened. Isn't it right? When Ibn Muljim struck him, and struck him on the same place where Amr ibn Abdul struck him. And the blood came from the head and made his beard, his white beard, red. So what the Prophet has said has to be true all the times. So we find that وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and the decrease in the fruits, which the hadith says this belongs to what happened to, we learn in the light of the hadith, what happens to the children of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So as Imam Ali alayhi salam, he himself has narrated this hadith from, and Shaykh Saduq narrates in Sawab al-Amal from Amir Mumin alayhi salam, that he narrated this hadith that man baka ala al-Husayn aw abka, man baka ala al-Husayn aw tabaka wajabat lahu al-Jannah. Whoever cries or makes a face like crying, Jannat becomes wajib on him. Obviously, it's a fact. But let's remember with the ma'rifat. Just like we have for ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, anyone for, who goes for one ziyarat of Imam Hussain on the Thursday night, there it is confirmed that Jannat becomes wajib on him. But arifan bihaqqihi. If he has the ma'rifat of the haqq of the Imam. So obviously, nothing is unconditional. So when Amir Mumin al-Salam was crossing on his way to the Battle of Siffin, was going from that spot which we call Karbala today, he started to cry a lot. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he asked the reason for crying, Imam said, if you knew, you would have also crying a lot. And Imam Ali al-Islam get off, and then he prayed two rakats of prayers at Karbala, and then he slept. And after a while, he woke up and said, I saw in my dream that, you know, some people came wearing white clothes with the swords hanging, and they draw the line on the earth. And they said, oh, the Ahlul Bayt have sabr over the musibat that arrives on you. And I saw my son Hussein drowning in the river of blood and calling for help. And no one is calling. No one is responding to his call. And then he turns to her. He says that what sort of pain, what sort of musibat we are supposed to face from Ali Abi Sufyan. And then he turns to his son Imam Hussein, who was accompanying him towards the Battle of Siffin, that, ah, ya Aba Abdullah, do sabr. You know, certainly the same, similar bala, similar test came to your face, faced by your father, similar to what you will be facing. That means Imam Ali alayhi salam faced the similar test from Ali Abi Sufyan, what Imam Hussein is about to face. And then he says to his son, that do sabr. And Imam replies that I'm going to do the sabr which is appreciated. The same sabr jameel that we have been talking about. There is no complaint, not no complaint at all. And then at the end of the verse, it says, وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings and basharat to the sabirin. To those who are patient, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, those when the musibat strikes them, reaches them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And That is also for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because when Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar salamullahi alayhi was sent to the battle of Mauta by the Holy Prophet, and in the final moments of the battle, when the curtains were removed, and we find the Prophet was seeing Ja'far al-Tayyar salamullahi alayhi, and he was seeing the Holy Prophet eye to eye. And the right hand of Hazrat Ja'far, the kuffar surrounded him, and his right hand was chopped off, and he was still resisting. La ba'sa lima qutti'at yamini. I don't care if my right has been cut off, because that I ma'i shimali, I still have my left hand. Wa qawiyyun dini, he said, and my religion is strong. So he has nothing to worry about. At-tayyar fil jannah wa zul janahain. Tayyar is in the flyer. Tayyar means the flyer, because he's flying in the paradise. Tayyar is in the paradise.
Zul janahain, he has two wings.
Prophet said in his hadith that Prophet Ja'far Tayyar has two wings. So he went, when his body was raised, before when he was in the final moments, when his left hand was also cut off, he says salam to Rasulullah directly. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Salama muwaddi' la salama za'ir.
That means my last salam to you, my farewell salam to you. Not the salam of a za'ir person who is going to return back to you. I'm not going to return back. This is my farewell salam to you, last salam to you.
And when he was raised over the spear, his body was raised over the spear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar from that spot, and he flew up to the paradise. And when the news of the shahadat of Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar reaches Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's where Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen, for the first time in the history of humanity, said this statement, which we call Kalimatul Istirja. He said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we find this kalima was never said by anybody before him, because this verse was not revealed yet. And later on the verse was revealed. This itself is a proof that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the one who is the hamil of the ilm of kullul kitab. He is the one who carries the knowledge of the entire book with him. So later on the verse was revealed of the Holy Prophet. So it became a sunnat. Sunnat that whoever faces the musibat, if he remembers Allah by saying this kalimatul istirja, and he becomes sabir and patient over all those tests, ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahma. They are the ones who will have salawat from their Lord upon them and mercy. And his son, Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salam, is also saying the same kalimatul istirja. Isn't it right? Imam Hussain, in the footsteps of his father, is also saying, when he's carrying Ali Asghar in his hands, he's saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ridham bi qada'ihi wa taslima li amri. That means we are pleased with the rida and pleasure of his, and we are submitting ourselves towards his command. Look at the highness of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Who can have a baby like Ali Asghar? When he raises the voice of his istighasa, we have two reactions coming. There was no reaction from the ashqiya and the enemies, because their stomachs were full of haram. How would they react to the call of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? How would they say labbaik to Imam Hussain when the stomachs are full of harams? So we find two reactions. First, one reaction was from Imam Sajjan alayhi salam. He cannot stand the call of his father. Although he was sick and jihad was sakit from his neck, Imam Sajjad comes, despite of his weakness, holding a broken spear in his hand. And Imam Hussain says to Umm Kulsum, Khuzihi, that means take him. He was taken back towards the Qiyam. And the second reaction comes from Ali Asghar. I know, maybe Ali Asghar was trying to say to his father that, my dad, I cannot speak, I am unable to speak, but I am not ready to tolerate that your voice of istighasa, because I cannot stand it, I have to sacrifice my life for you. So Imam Hussein comes into the khiyam. He extends his hands and Asghar comes into the lap of his father. Now Imam is taking Ali Asghar towards the maqtal, towards the battlefield, and Hazrat Rubab is standing at the door of the khaymah. The mother of Hazrat Ali Asghar is standing at the door of the khaymah. And we find her Sakina is also there, listening to the conversation. And Imam comforts Hazrat Rubab by saying that those are the people, some scholars have narrated, that Imam said, those are the people who went up till now were able to fight. But your son is not even able to fight. Maybe I can get some water for him. And Imam comforted Hazrat Rubab. And now he is bringing Ali Asghar into the maqtal. And he says, he asked for the water, but there was no response from the Ashqiya. So finally, Mawla lays Ali Asghar over the burning sands of the maqtal, on the burning sands of Karbala. And we find Ali Asghar is now over the burning sands. Tomorrow, nobody can say, we were ready to give water, but we didn't want to give to Hussein. No, now Imam Hussein is putting Ali Asghar over the ground. Anybody who wants to provide water, then come and give water to him. But there was no response. And finally, Imam Hussein raises Ali Asghar into his arms and says a sentence. It is also said on the same occasion that Imam said, Ama fikum Muslim? Isn't there a Muslim person among you? Isn't it right? We have heard so much. We learned so much in Islam. Isn't it right? Islam emphasizes on providing water to the thirsty. But there was no response. And then Imam says a statement that really shakes the heart of every believer. Imam says, is there any sahib-e awlad among you? That means, is there any parent who is available? You know, the parents know how they feel when the child is hungry and thirsty. They understand the problem. But there was no response. And finally, Mawla asks Ali Asghar to show the Ashqiya how thirsty he is, showing himself to them how thirsty he is. And Ali Asghar started to rub his dry little tongue over his dry lips. And that's where some of the Ashqiya started to turn their faces away and started to cry. And that's where Umar ibn Sa'd rahmatullah alayh said to Hurmala, "Iqta kalam al-Hussein." Cut off the conversation of Hussein. And the three-pointed arrow, the poisoned arrow, the three-pointed arrow was thrown on the neck of Ali Asghar. فَالْقَلْبَ السَّبِيُّ عَلَىٰ يَدِ الْإِمَامِ. The child dies in the lap of the Imam. The arrow penetrates into the arm of Imam Hussein. And Imam gathers the blood of Ali Asghar into his palm, into his hand. Now there are various narrations narrated by various scholars. Some of the scholars have said, Imam was about to throw the blood over the ground. But the earth replied, there shall be no plantation growing if this blood falls over me. And Imam was trying to throw the blood towards the sky. And the sky replied, there shall be no rain if this blood comes to me. And in some of the scholars have said, no, Imam did throw the blood towards the sky and nothing returned back. So basically, all the blood is protected there with Rasulullah. And also, some of the scholars have said, Imam took the blood of Ali Asghar and rubbed it over his own face. So tomorrow, he is going to meet Rasulullah with the blood of Asghar over his own face. Now Imam is moving towards the khaymah because Rubab is waiting, isn't it right? And Rubab is waiting about her son, and she and Imam is moving towards the khaymah, and he moves 7 steps forward, 7 times it happens, he moves forward and then he moves backwards. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There is no complaint in the heart of Imam Hussein towards Allah. Instead, he is pleased and sabir and shakir and thankful. And finally, when Sakina learns that Imam Hussein is bringing Ali Asghar, and she learned the conversation, maybe Imam could get water for him. Sakina rushes towards, comes towards her father. Baba, you provided water for Ali Asghar. Sakina is also your daughter. Imam removes the daman of Aba, and they found the Ali Asghar is lying dead.